Classy.
4K. Fantasy. Kate's a war.
Kate's a war.
Elves with lasers and tanks. Oh my stars.
Okay.
I know that one.
All right. Well, anyway, welcome to Game Classy.
Bolt action, 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 action.
World War II War Games rules from Osprey Publishing and Warlord Games. Yay.
Take that, Jerry.
Game Classy.
Before we start, actually, I wanted to talk about something that happened to me today, and it made me very excited, but this is the only outlet I could have to tell people, because I can't tell people in my real life, because they'll be like, I don't get it. What's so great about it? But at least nerds will get what I'm talking about, is I was at work today, and we had a major snafu with our work software. We had a major upgrade, and none of the passwords that we had previously had worked on the new upgrade. And I was freaking out, because I'm like, if we don't get this taken care of by tomorrow, the entire system is going to shut down. All right? And I like, okay.
So, so dramatic.
It was. It's pretty dramatic. And it's like,
going to shut down.
It's going to shut down.
One teacher bound by fate.
No one will be able to take attendance. That's basically what it would be. But it would shut down the school pretty much. And so I was like, okay. And now, like, you think, when you think about like real hackers, like Johnny Lee Miller, they're like, oh wait, there's a back door. I'm gonna sneak in, you know, do this.
It's absolutely nothing like that.
this is what happened today. It was like beep boop boop boop. Hi tech. Yeah. What am I gonna do about this? Oh, you don't know? Oh, that's not good. Okay, I'll give you a call back. And then I was like, click 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 click. Google. Click 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 click. Search for. Click 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 click. And then I go through the whole thing, and I'm like, hello tech Excel. Yeah, you got to do this for me. All right. And they did it. But it took, like, overall, like, 3 hours to do. And I walked into the principal's office, busted the door open. I'm like, thank you very much. I just saved the school from Armageddon. And I was like, I was in there. I was hacking the entire system. I was in the back door. You had corrupted files all the way down, you know, making up words and shit like that. And everyone was like, oh, this guy, he knows what he's doing. This guy is a genius.
Yeah. The best thing is when there's actually like a huge computer problem, you're going to be fucked.
Because yeah.
You're going to be like, oh, well, you use the algorithms of the quantum space continuum to clear off that last problem. Can't you do it again?
One man. Wait, one phone call.
Joe, can you reverse the polarity again?
Total protonic reversal.
That's pretty much what it was like, but I had a lot of fun doing it today.
At some point, you should back off, man.
Back off,
man.
Scientist. I'm a scientist. I've done that before. I've pretty much said that before, but yeah, that was my exciting thing today. I was like, yay! I literally like busted open the door, like, thank you. You should all be bowing down at my feet, for I have saved you all.
Thanks, Lord Google.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't use Google.
No?
Tracked searches.
No. Mm-hmm. What do you use now? Dogpile.
Dogpile?
No, Lycos?
Does Lycos Jeeves still exist?
Yeah, I think it does.
Ask Jeeves is just funny because there's a butler. I don't think I've ever used it.
Do you ever go to Ask Jeeves and say, Dear Jeeves, please take me to Yahoo?
No, I use a super secret search engine that I'm not about to advertise, because then more people will start using it and it'll get worse like Google.
All right. I just use Google because it answers all of my tech questions.
Super hipster about it.
Yeah, I am. I'm like, I'm going to use Google.
No, I said I was super hipster,
about my
search engine. Because I found it. You've probably never heard of it.
All right. Well, anyway, today we got some stuff to talk about, so let's get right on it. First thing first is bolt action. Anyway, I wanted to talk about it because, you know, contrary to popular belief, people do like playing historical war games.
Not many.
There is a great number.
Smallest demographic.
Well, that's because they don't usually deal with through things that you deal with. You don't see massive distributors for that.
Yeah, that's why, because it's the smallest fucking demographic.
But you know what? They are very vocal in their anger.
Well, yeah, the smaller your play group, the louder it all
but
gonna
actually
be.
It's actually interesting, because I want, in terms of what you're saying, it is the smallest demographic, but it has been making way more entrances into the mainstream gaming.
It used to be the biggest.
Well, yeah, it used to be the biggest, and then all of a sudden people were like, wait, I can give people flamethrowers and chain swords?
Swords? And magic missiles? Like,
wait, I do 2 damage with this fireball? Well, I'm going to do that instead. Well, yeah. But so it's
because they discovered fun.
It is. They discovered magic cards.
They discovered fun.
But they, the people, they've been putting out some role and some historical war games that have actually been doing pretty well. I mean, Flames of War does pretty well.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not like it's blown up the charts. Like you hear kids going, "Mommy, I want a Russian panzer tank from Flames of War.
Come eat in that panzer."
I want the new rule set that talks about the invasion of Normandy. No, that never happened.
Sorry, Billy, but you need 10 more soldiers to play.
Yeah, exactly. You don't see that. You don't see that. But
because kids don't give a shit about World War II.
No, they don't. But most of the people that play those historical games, the people that are getting into it, are people who are our age. As
or
opposed,
older.
Yeah, well, of course the people are older. Micro armor, micro armor. Excuse me.
We build tiny tanks. We build tiny tanks.
You've been working on that. They're like, oh, excuse me. Do you have any of the new artisan Russian partisan troops?
I have to say the models for this game are shit.
Yeah, I will admit, Bolt Action is put out by Warlord Games, and our book is published through Osprey, which if you don't know what Osprey is, you obviously have never been to a historical wargaming convention, because they're all, like, you'll see them in libraries too. They're like really small books, or not pocket-sized, a little bit before that, but they cover
Napoleonic era, 1913 to 1918.
Yeah, something like yeah. Right,
that is a totally wrong year. But.
No, they'd be like Napoleonic uniforms of the Spanish soldiers that are from the northern part of Catalan in 1812.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. There's nothing more.
And they're actually kind of fun to read through. So I mean, like, if you're interested in something,
they're dry
like,
as fuck, dude.
What?
They're dry as
they
fuck.
They are like they're super hard to get through. You're, but like. But if you're like, you know what I'd really like to do? I'd really like to learn a little bit about Polish hussars from the 16th century. And you're like, oh, wow, there's a whole book on it. And you read through it, and you're like, I never need to know anything else about Polish hussars from the 16th century. Yeah. But Bolt Action is actually a really cool rule book.
When I was a little girl in Poland.
Yeah. Bolt Action, the new rule book came out, and it covers the Americans, the Nazis.
Nazis.
The Soviets and the British. It's a British company, so of course they have to put the British in there, even though they kind of collapsed just slowly towards the... And then the Americans came in.
You really think the Americans won World War II, don't you?
Hells yeah!
You're
America.
You are a retard.
America.
You're a retard.
Well, what's that sound? Oh, that's the American cavalry coming over the hill. Taking out those Nazis.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah.
He thinks that the Americans won World War II.
I saw a bridge too far. I saw what Montgomery did. But anyway, the rule
Russia
book...
won World War II.
Well, that's true, too. Hey, my Polish-Soviet brethren who were still over there who were too dumb to get out. So anyway, the rule set is pretty, really simplistic. It's about the simplistic rule set I've ever seen for 28mm, which is good because what I'm going to talk about in a little bit is even worse. But it's very simplistic. You could use any models from any company. A lot of new plastic World War II stuff's been coming out, especially in 28mm, I think in preparation for Bolt Action. I would recommend it. I would give it probably out of 5, I would give it a 4 out of 5. In terms of a rule set, just because it is the easiest thing in the world to get through, easy to read, easy to put together an army. My only complaint right now is that there's not enough variation. Like, every army is going to be exactly the same until the rule books come out.
The Soviets will have an extra squad.
They do have an extra squad. The British get, like, we get to bombard people earlier. Like, every army has, like, a special rule, but that's about it. Like,
snap call Soviets is the best because it's more models.
And Steve wins.
Just saying.
That leads to the next part, which is another minis game that just came out, or the rule set just came out, which is Dystopian Legions.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Endless Fantasy Tactics or Brushfire or something.
No, not that. Are you kidding me? I don't want to play with furries.
Hey, you like the historical games. They just happen to be like rats and shit.
Fuck that shit. What? It's like when Reaper put out the little mice guys. Do you see those? You see those
guys from Mouse Guard?
No, they're called Mouselings or something like
that.
Yeah,
they're from Mouse Guard.
But you could do Mouse Guard with them. But they have like little like suits of armor and stuff like that. And then Dark Heaven, I think it's Dark Heaven, does all of the like frogs and animals that are like.
It's in Dark Heaven. Dark Heaven's their role playing line.
Is that Reaper's role playing line? Okay, then this is the other thing. It's the same company that puts out Dark Sword. That's what it is. Put out the really weird looking Game of Thrones figures.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that you're like, this doesn't look anything like Theon Greyjoy.
This doesn't look like that one guy, Shan Bean, at all.
I expect it to look like 006. This doesn't look like 006.
He just looks like some guy with a sword. Fuck this model. I'm done.
You throw it off the table. But yeah, they do all the furry models and everything. No, Dystopian Legions from Spartan Games, who we've talked about before. They do stuff with the boat games.
They make boat games that are incomprehensible gibberish.
Let me tell you this. Okay, I want to talk about this game. This game, like, this is like a prime example of we're doing everything right, and then we're also doing everything wrong. Okay, so what they've been doing right.
Oh, before I saw the rules, I snap called they would be shit.
Well, the rules aren't shit. But here's what they're doing right, first of all. First, they're promoting the game heavily on the site. Each day they're putting up a new model that they're going to be releasing, I think, at the end of this month or early November-ish. They talk about it. They show pictures. They show painted. It's like a really good idea of what's going on. And today they put up the rule set. And it's what they did is they put up the full quick starter rule set. And hold on a second. I want to pull this up because I want to make sure I say this correctly. They're quick start rules. These are the rules that you just need to briefly read these to get the game started.
And I will preface this. I haven't seen these, but the Mercs quick start rules fit on two playing cards.
Yes.
Two playing cards, normal size playing mm-hmm. cards. That is the Mercs quick start rules.
The quick start rules for Dystopian Legions are 80 pages long. 80 pages long. Now, let me tell you.
800-page rule book.
Let me tell you this. Let me also preface this. And that 80 pages does not cover a single one of the armies. Each of the armies has an additional 3 pages.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's 4 armies coming out. There. Let me tell you this. Spartan Games, I know you don't listen to this, but seriously, someone just forward this to them. You don't need to put your FAQs into the rule book underneath the rule. Like, no rule should be simply put in one sentence.
Well, actually, so I don't know. I haven't seen these, but Privateer, they do FAQs in their rule book, but they're more like perfect example. You see a rule and you go, does that stack with this or does that work with that? I'm not 100% sure. And usually in the little shout-out box, they call them shout-out boxes, it's like, this rule stacks with this rule. Like, oh, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, and then they'll, like even GW does this. They'll put, like, a little, like, diagram. And they'll say, like, this is okay. This is not okay. Privateer Press does it, too. They're like, and they put, like, a big line with, like, an arrow through it that says, like, no, you can't do this. No,
the GW one has two people having a good time, like, with drinks in their hands, and it's got a big no on that. And then it has another one of a guy just, like, smashing another guy's face into the table with models flying everywhere, and it's got the thumbs up there.
Okay, let me just give you an example of a rule that's in their quick start rule set. Okay, now, first of all, this is for a model that's not even going to be released in the first wave of figures. So why the fuck is it in the quick start rules? Okay, disembarking. An embarked section may disembark at any point during the Ironclad's movement segment. All disembarking models must be placed in base contact with the Ironclad in coherency. A section cannot embark or disembark from an Ironclad that has made a full steam ahead move action. Disembarking from an Ironclad that has not yet performed any move action that turn counts as the section movement a walk move action for the purposes of determining what other actions the section can perform. As such, a section that has disembarked during the activation from an ironclad that did not move may still perform a ranged attack but cannot perform any walk, run, charge, or focus fire actions. If the transport ironclad performed any move actions before the section disembarked, the embark section cannot perform any further actions after they disembark.
3 words. Fuck that game.
As I said, I looked at it. I go, I'm going to have a lot of fun painting and collecting these models. That's about it.
You're just done. You're done after that.
Yeah. It's like, there are other rule sets that I could use these models for that are much better. Yeah. I could use the bolt action rules for this game because it's essentially the same thing, and I could have a shit ton more fun. Not to mention the fact that, once again, they're as much as I like what they're doing with the Japanese models, it's like, come on, did you have to put ninjas in the fucking army?
What?
It's like every fucking time with Japan, you got to put the goddamn ninjas in there.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I think ninjas are all right, but
Come on.
The next guy, but
I just said they were all right. Yeah. I didn't say, however,
the Japanese models are armed with like these really cool looking shotguns. It's like the models are amazing.
Yeah, the models look sweet.
Yeah, it's like, and it's the same thing. It uses the exploding dice rolls that that they have in all the other games and everything like that.
That's just a shit roll.
It's not a shit rule. It's just a rule that's kind of unnecessary. The problem is just you can't put rules out there like this and expect people to understand what the hell you're saying. You simplify it. You put down one thing, and then later on, you know, on a different page, you could have a whole fucking paragraph explaining the rule.
Kings of War's first rule book they did before they were actually a thing was like 5 pages.
Yeah,
I think. But it is a full fucking game system.
Yeah. Well, this is the problem with this game system is this game system right now is in skirmish level, but I guarantee you they're building up to army level because of all the stuff that they got coming out for it looks fucking phenomenal. You know the Metzger robot that they have for
I think it's sweet. It's huge.
They're doing a full size one for the game.
Yeah, I saw a picture. It looks awesome.
They got like American scouts on motorcycles that are just like tank treaded vroom, motorcycle. Vroom. Yeah, and they got like, you know, big German iron, you know, robot guys and everything else like
power
that.
Power suits.
Power suits. It's a phenomenal looking game. British Air jumps and everything.
We have power suits. But what do you have?
But it's once. This is like a prime example of a great model range with the shittiest fucking rules I've ever read. And it's very disappointing. Very, very much.
I called it.
Yeah, I mean, they're not shit. It's just, put it out there so I can understand what the hell's going out.
They are shit, and they're shit, and they're too complicated. There's no reason for games to be that complicated.
There's no reason for a game like that to be that complicated.
Nope.
But actually, that takes us, the exploding dice mechanic actually takes us to our first segment, which is a recommendation from a fella on our Facebook page.
Wouldn't this be past the first segment at this point? Well, Wouldn't this be the second segment?
I don't care. Second segment. Whatever. Fuck, I don't care.
Hey, you're the one who had to get all listy with our number of segments and shit.
Highfalutin.
Yeah, you're getting all fancy. You've got your Diet Coke because you're way too good for regular Coke.
I'm way too fat for regular Coke. That's the fucking reason.
All right, that doesn't really help. I'm just going to throw that out there.
However, did you see the model I put up on the Facebook page? The British guy in like the wheelchair.
Yes, that guy's awesome.
Wait, that's what he's saying. The models are really cool. He's like, yes, quite.
he's got his cognac.
Yeah, he's got like a cigarette and a cognac. Yeah. And he's in like a wheelchair. It's just,
yeah, it's very good, gentlemen. Go commit yourselves to a skirmish over there.
It's like, gentlemen. To Empire. Jesse Buchanan on our Facebook page.
Jesse Buchanan.
He just dropping a line to say that I like the podcast and started listening to all the casts several weeks ago. It's good to get a smattering of gaming news and commentary without fixating on one topic. Well, that's good because Steve can't fixate on any one topic for longer than 3 minutes.
That's fucking bullshit.
That's fucking bullshit. And it's funny. Well, that's the first. We never really heard that. A question I'd love to hear you guys discuss. What are some of your favorite mini game mechanics and why? What's the guts of the tabletop games you really think are really elegant or engaging? Steve, you probably thought a little bit about this.
I did think a little bit about this.
So why don't you start?
I figure rather than calling out specific rules by like, you know, rule systems, because that would take me forever, I'm just going to give generalities. I like quick rule sets. One. Mm-hmm. I like a game that plays fast. I don't like games that grind. So a perfect example. Kings of War. You're playing with hundreds of models, huge blocks. It's not a grind. That game is over fucking fast. Mm-hmm. Fast. You're playing a big, like, equivalent-sized fantasy game. Will take you 3 to 4 hours or more. Kings of War, hour. Tops. Because fantasy is a grind. It is a grinding game. It's just like you grind and grind and grind. And then eventually someone gets lucky. And, oh, unit's broken. You're like, oh, cool. That was awesome. That was a really really exciting battle. We rolled big buckets of dice at each other, and now your little men are running away. It's fucking.
Now Steve says that way. I actually prefer. I like the big combats. I like big. I like games that take a long time to play. But that's just me. That's the difference between Steve and I. And it's because Steve is a gamer. Steve is hardcore into the gaming aspect. I'm more into having my models that I've painted beautifully on the table as long as possible so that I could be like, look at how beautiful my army is.
See,
stare at it for 4 hours.
It's a good thing you don't go to tons of tournaments, because if you did, at some point you would have the tournament model blowout. And I think it would destroy you.
It probably would.
I think it would destroy you.
I mean, I'm not a tournament player. I'm not even a player.
I've seen people drop their display boards.
Oh.
The best was one guy dropped his display board and then fell on it. It went down to the ground. He fell straight forward.
What
on top
sound
of it.
Did he make when he hit it? Was it like?
No, it was. I was like, that was the noise. Like it sounded like he was throwing up. Yeah, and I saw, and I had to excuse myself. Because, I mean, it was horrible.
You were also probably drunk at the time.
I was hammered. I mean, it was horrible. Like, I feel bad for the guy. Like, yeah. That sucks, you know, getting your army destroyed. But fucking A, it was the funniest thing. There were models everywhere, and then the...
Well, I've talked about it on the podcast before what happened to my squats.
Yeah, your squats. Oh. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that was nothing compared to some of the disasters I've seen at tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, that just happens in general. I mean, like... I'm a pretty methodical painter. You know, I have a shit ton of painted stuff at home. And it's like, okay, a perfect example. I painted a Galrock for a guy. Galrock the dragon is probably one of the worst models ever because it's all metal. The wings are metal. The tail is metal. And it's not a bad looking model. Well, it's kind of bad looking. But the problem is that it's like everything needs to be pinned. And I painted it perfectly. I put it all together, had it pinned, and still, like, I'm holding it up. I'm like painting like the last little bit, and it just falls out of my hand.
Yes,
it just goes. You just see it like ah, da da da. Ah.
Time to say goodbye.
Like you saw little Slim Pickens riding on top of it, going yeah. Just like as it hits the ground and explodes.
By the way, I hate that movie.
We've already talked. We're not going to get into that. I mean, part of what gives us the unique ability is the fact that you and I do not agree on most things. Pop culture wise.
Yeah. Like you love Doctor Who.
I do love Doctor Who, and you hate the Doctor Who.
I do hate Doctor Who.
Ugh. But anyway, so Steve's likes the quicks rules. He likes getting the game done.
I also like removal of variants, and it's not to say that I don't like a lengthy game in terms of time spent, but I don't want the mechanics to be taking up the time. So yes. if I played a game of King's War that lasted 4 hours, that means I'm playing a huge game where my game is bigger in scale. It's not the rules.
Yeah.
I also like removal of variants.
Mm-hmm.
Removal of variants is my favorite feature in a miniatures game.
What is that? If you could explain that.
Variants in all games, variance is random. So when you're playing a CCG, like card game, like Magic, your variance is, are you going to draw the right combination of lands and spells, creatures? Are you going to be able to play your cards? Because in Magic, sometimes you draw your first 7 cards and you cannot play the cards in your hand. So you have to throw them back into the deck. Then you have to draw 6 as a penalty for having bad luck. Sweet rule. Then if you don't have it again, you can do it again. And then you go down to 5, 4, 3, etc. And then the variance is you don't know what's at the top of your deck. So you could you really need a land card to play this card that will let you win the game. And if you can play this card in the next turn, you will win flat out. But you grab the top card of your deck. It's not a land card. You don't play the card in your hand and your opponent kills you when their turn comes up. That's variance. And in Minnie's game, it's dice because you're rolling D6s. You're looking for 4+ or whatever. And they adjust the variables. So you might need a 2, 3, 4, 5 or 6. Or maybe you need a 5 or 6. Obviously, if you need 2s, you're going to hit more than 5s or 6s. But the ability to remove variants, which is the way my models are positioned, and I've applied these penalties to you throughout the game some way, makes this next attack not fail.
Yes.
Automatically. You're automatically hit. You can't do anything about it. I've outplayed you positioning-wise. You're hit. Deal with it.
Yeah, it's a lot like back in the day when we'd be sitting around at the bunker, sitting behind a counter, and then two people would sit there and talk about, well, if you're going to bring this part to the army, I'm going to bring this. And he's like, well, if you bring that, then I'm going to do this. And then, it's Wordhammer, essentially, is what it is. I don't disagree with you. I think that's a great way of playing, too. I think too much – I disagree with that. I don't like the elimination of it. I like the fact that there's
I like having the access to eliminate it. That's the thing that makes it key.
Yeah.
Having no variance in your game having no variance in your game while making the best games, because like chess – not saying I don't like – chess is poor, and actually a guy wrote a very, very long, very, very dry – explanation of how if chess was designed and was a brand new game today, it would fail.
Yeah.
Because the only reason that it's around still is because it is chess. But chess has no variance.
Jeez.
The problem with games that have no variance or very, very low variance and a very high skill, they're not accessible. If I challenged you in, let's say I'm a chess, I'll just keep using chess because everyone knows chess. Yeah. I'm a chess grandmaster. and I challenge you. I'm going to beat the shit out of you in chess every time we play.
If you're going to talk like a chess grandmaster, you have to do it in a Russian accent.
Say I'm chess grandmaster, and I go, Joe, my friend, comrade, come play me in the chess game. And you go, all right, I'll play. I'll battle you with my mans, and then I defeat you because I'm a grandmaster.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. But that's not accessible. So you've got, like, you've got to have some ability for a worse player to win. If a worse player cannot win your game, then it is not going to be mass appeal successful.
So, like, or almost to the fact of what about, like, tier-wise? Like, you have, like a beginner could play an intermediate person, but a beginner really shouldn't play a person who's played the game for, like, 15 years.
Which works with War Machine. Because a beginner can maybe beat someone who's less skilled or doesn't play frequently, but they're going to lose to someone who's higher end. Because War Machine has access to removing variants. You have I've knocked your guy down, I've charged in, I've set up these circumstances, so now your man is automatically hit and it's your warcaster, so you're dead, son.
You're dead, son.
I mean, the thing is that video games are a great example of games that don't have variants. There's very, very, very few video games that have RNG, random number generation, or variants, because if you're playing League of Legends, and you're better than the
good,
other guy.
That's a good example.
You're playing League of Legends. Your team is better than the other team. You're not going to lose.
No,
because nothing is. I guess there's like the tiniest little bit of variance.
But League of Legends is about so much more. It's all about the erotic fantasy art that you can say on DeviantArt.
There is way more erotic fantasy art that doesn't involve League of Legends. Come on,
League of Legends. That's the only thing I know about. That's the only reason I even know League of Legends is because the erotic fan art.
you should see the troves of erotic fan art for WoW.
Oh God, yeah, I know that. But that's good. WoW's been out for a long time. But the thing is
WoW's got tenure.
The thing is, okay, I'll browse on Reddit and I'll put on R all, so I'll see all the things, and they'll just be like, look at this really hot fan art of Sonora, blah 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 blah. And I'll be like, oh, what the hell is this? And I click on it, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? And then I look at it, it's from League of Legends. I'm like, what the fuck is League of Legends?
That's
this
awesome.
Is a sort of board game. Should I know about this board game? Is it put out by Fantasy Flight?
I think I heard of that. No, it must be Bucephalus Games. Real game company.
Is this a new Rio Grande game?
Rio Grande. They got Puerto Ricos.
Puerto Rico.
Rico.
But yeah, okay. Keep going.
All right, so I like that. Removal of variants. I like games that involve positioning. Positioning heavy games are very exciting. I like that. The setup, because you have to
positioning. It's very exciting.
I didn't say positions.
No, positioning is very exciting.
Positioning.
You're just
positioning
exciting.
Is not exciting, because then you're like, you're awkwardly trying to shift, and you're like, wait, I think it got, and she's like, nope, that's not where you want to be, and I'm like, oh, I see what I've done here.
I've made a huge mistake.
I like games where you move really matters, and baiting your opponent really matters. That's really cool. And
I think like most large scale like mass combat war games, especially on the historical side, or I shouldn't even say historical, but any block style side, like where you have the big blocks of troops, is very much like that.
It's kind of funny if people who go to War Machine from Games Workshop, they leave Games Workshop because they're like, I'm sick of your shit, Workshop. I'm done with you. I'm selling my shit. Going to another game. They go to PIP.
Stop hitting the table, by the way. It's picking it up like crazy.
Nice. Those players, if they played both Warhammer 40,000 and Warhammer Fantasy and were competent to good in either of those games, they are immediately decent at War Machine. They're gonna lose a lot to tricks and things that they just don't expect because they don't know you can do them.
Yeah,
but
because trust me, I've fallen to that. When's the magic phase?
the reason that they're decent or at like a passable level is because they've learned target priority from Warhammer 40,000, because that's the only rule that game has. You're like, what do you shoot first? Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know in 40K.
Oh yeah,
what do you shoot first? And then they learn positioning from Fantasy, because you're like, hey, well, if this guy charges me here, I can flee and then get him in the pincer.
That's what
helps you win in War Machine.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying, is like, you generally, the bigger mass combat games are generally designed around the fact of, you know, maneuvering your troops to the point where you can get them to,
I mean,
and where you can get them to bait another person to move this way and things like that.
Fantasy just does it poorly.
Well, now it does.
Yes.
It hasn't always been a shitty game.
I agree.
Sixth. Sixth is the best edition.
Sixth is the best minus terrain. Terrain was too...
Oh, terrain was shitty in sixth.
Terrain was bad in sixth.
Well, I mean, it's like... And for I've played a couple 8th edition games. It's not a terrible game. I agree the magic rules are a little wonky. I'm just not used to them. So I'm not
after you get used to them, you just see more and more variants and more retarded crap happen.
Yeah. Well, and that's as I said, don't forget the difference between me and you. I like a lot of variants in games. That's why I'm a big board game player too.
I guess I don't like the fact that you could just be superior in every regard and just lose because some guy goes, diced ya.
Oh, I like that.
That's the fucking worst. Because the worst thing is when they're worse than you and they get belligerent about how they're beating you.
That's always bad. Ugh. That's always bad.
You're fucking worse. You're so bad at this game.
I'm gonna take my turn on some stuff that I like because I'm a little more specific in a couple of things. One thing I like is I like card mechanics as opposed to dice mechanics. I like it when movement and stuff is based off of like card action. Like a good example, like Battle Lore or Battles of Westeros. I really like that depending upon what card you draw is how you move your figures. And that's part of the variance. And I know you don't like that.
Yeah, no minis game uses that.
I know. But, yeah, it's true. I don't think I can think of any mini game in particular. Even though I do consider Battles of Westeros and Battle Lore to be mini games. I know you don't.
Battles of Westeros is closer than
Battle Lore.
Battle Lore and Battles of Westeros are kind of similar.
Yeah, they're and the Memoir 44 is very similar and things like that.
They're like mini game light.
Yeah, they are. But I like that mechanic. I like doing that a little bit better because I don't think that necessary. I like in the game aspect of things. I like the ability to say like, oh, if I get to do this, and then you pull your cards and like, oh, I can't do that. I like that because it's frustrating, but it actually lends a little bit more to the game aspect as it's more the competition.
That's the other thing too. I mean, what are you billing the game as? Are you billing it as a competitive tournament game?
Because
if you're billing it as a competitive tournament game, rules like that are shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're billing it as like a, hey, everybody play this fun game, then rules like that are fine. Rules like that are good for people because they just. Like, my mans can move 20 squares. Yay.
Like, Confrontation used to do something very similar to that. Whereas
their rules were really bad.
They were not very bad. I will stand by Confrontation's rules. I do not think they were as bad as you say they were.
They're pretty bad.
They're pretty bad. You'd have the deck of cards, and you'd have your like little units, and then you'd shuffle them up, and then whatever you pulled was the card that you would have to play.
You have like everything for Rackham, right?
Okay. Pretty much.
If they don't change the rules a lot for Phoenix Edition,
yeah,
I'll take a look. If they don't change the rules a lot, I will play you in that game, and I will make you hate it. I will make you hate it so badly it will not even be close. You'll hate it so passionately you'll sell your toys.
But I'm not like that. You know me. I have buckets upon buckets of Clan War.
That's fair.
Yeah,
all right, you'll keep your toys, but you won't play with them anymore.
I'm not playing you anymore, Steve.
Because the undead in that game are so...
I sold all my undead.
blown out!
I painted them all, and I sold them for like $500.
The undead in that game were so fucking overpowered, it was not even close to fun.
You know,
every big
like,
tournament that ever
like,
happened
fuck
to
you,
that
Steve,
game...
I'm going to go play with undead. Pat B. I'm going to go train a noob how to play this game and then beat him. Make myself feel better.
I'd love it when he plays you in his first game and kicks the shit out of you.
He probably would. I'm terrible at these games. but models look infinitely better than most. I also like another mechanic that I really like is I like movement aids in games. It's a mechanic that you see in Dystopian Wars. Clan War had it.
Mercs. They have the cards.
Where you have the little cards that show you your movement. Like, this is how you can move. Like, Dystopian Wars has, like, a turn template and things like that. So it's not like you could just, like, I'm going to do a 90-degree pivot. You can't do that with a boat, you motherfucker!
I'm doing that for my minis game, the minis deck-building game I'm designing.
Yeah.
It's going to be put a card down adjacent to your miniature's base.
Yeah.
And then you can move that model anywhere adjacent to the card.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's why I like, I mean, like, Clan War had like a 45-degree angle, I don't even know what they called it, but it's like this little arrow thing that you'd put up next to your mini base, and then your guys would just move along that, and I was just like, that's so much easier than every other way that people do that shit.
Yep.
I will tell you some mechanics that I absolutely hate. I hate with all God living passion.
Random magic phase?
No.
Nerds.
It doesn't bother me. No, I hate terrain rules. I have never seen a game do terrain rules where I've just been like, oh, this makes sense.
Dark Age?
Well, I've never played Dark Age. I probably never will. But I mean, like.
You're not going to find it in big games.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like in big games, terrain just makes the game so awful. I mean, War Machine is not
bad. Pretty good for War Machine, but War Machine's not a big game.
No, but even in a bigger thing, I mean, it's not terrible. I just hate it where it's like, oh, it's semi-difficult terrain, so you have to move nothing. You move 1 inch turn.
I like War Machines. It's just your movements. You can't run.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
And if it's very difficult, I think it's 1 inch. 1 inch counts as two. I've never played in a game of War Machine with very difficult ground. Dangerous, maybe. I don't know.
I absolutely hate that. And you know what other a mechanic that I absolutely hate? Complex rule books. I'm just thinking of Dystopian Wars again.
Dystopian Legions and Dystopian Wars.
And Dystopian Wars. And Dystopian Wars isn't... Dystopian Wars is nowhere near as bad as Dystopian Legions. Dystopian Wars... And Dystopian Legions makes Dystopian Wars look like the rule book to... Yeah, Bolt Action. It's like... It makes Twilight Imperium look like an easy read. I think I made that joke last week.
Do you got a week? We could fire up a game of Twilight Imperium now.
I really want to play that game. I want to see that because people love that game.
It's really good.
And I know it's... But I just was like... I'm opening it up and I'm like, the Kzinti Empire.
You need like 5 to 6 hours, though.
You do. I went on a car ride with my family. We went out to pick some apples.
Oswego.
No, we went out. We went on a farm. We went to go get to an apple farm.
Napa Valley.
And it was about an hour drive. So I brought along the Bolt Action Rules and Dystopian Wars because I was going to get through them. I got through the entire Bolt Action rule book in like 30 minutes. And then I spent the next hour and a half getting through Dystopian Wars. I didn't even make it through like the command phase.
Yes. So good.
It's a good rule set. It's just so poorly written.
It's too much, and it's written badly.
It's written so ungodly badly. It's not even like the confrontation where it was French and then translated to English.
Yeah, they had at least an excuse.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see. Is there any other mechanics that we...
I don't know of these rules you speak of, but our miniatures look very nice.
Oh, very nice. No, I mean, the thing is that most minigames all kind of run off the same mechanics. There's very few that are so different that it's worth noting.
Even, like, you can't even say Malifaux, because the only thing that's really that branches it from other minigames is they use cards instead of dice, but it's the same thing.
It's
random numbers.
Yeah.
Mercs has got a lot of stuff that's pretty unique to it, but it's still, at the end of the day, you roll a D10. But Mercs is also one where you're shooting for a target number. And if your target number is impossible to hit on the dice, you automatically miss. And if your target number is impossible to miss on the dice, you automatically hit. There's no rolling of dice for automatic successes or failures.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, that is nice. I mean, Grant, it takes out a little bit of the whole, oh, this is completely, you know.
Well, to earn that, you have to have, like, higher ground, be firing with a better gun, at their flank, while they're knocked down. Like, you set up all these conditions where you're just like, ha-ha, gotcha, bitch. Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, 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 pew.
And then you pew, pew, pew.
I think it'd be more interesting to talk about mechanics in board games that are different, because there are a lot of mechanics in board games that I could be like, I like this mechanic and this mechanic and this mechanic. It's kind of hard to talk about, because board games are there's such a variance in board games. Like, board games is like, with mini games, when you talk about mini games, there's like three types of mini games. You have skirmish, large battle, and
other.
It's like, that's it. There's like, there's not much variance. Even in between like fantasy and sci-fi, there's not much variance between the games. Mm-mm. Like, 40K is fantasy with round bases, essentially.
Yeah, except you kill individual mans rather than whole units at a time.
Yeah, I mean, you kill individual mans in fantasy, too.
Yeah, but whole units run away and then get run down. I mean, I guess that kind of happens to 40K.
I was going to say, that happens to 40K. But board games is like, you have family board games, you have historical war games, you have wargaming board games, you have just so
Arkham
many.
Horror.
Arkham Horror, which it doesn't even, I don't, that's another one with a complex rule set.
It's a lot.
It's like you spend like 4 days just punching the cards that come with Arkham Horror.
Yeah. Arkham Horror is actually really easy to play. Yeah. It's not hard.
I would really love to give that a try. That and Zombicide, I've been wanting to give a try to. Don't roll your eyes at Zombicide.
Fucking zombie games, dude. I'm over it.
Well, of
I'm
course, because it's the hotness. Everyone loves zombie games. Well, I shouldn't say everybody loves zombie games. Everybody's putting out the zombie games.
People are buying the zombie games, too.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah.
Is Zombicide doing well? Well, Zombicide looks like a good
dude, the Walking Dead TV show game, by all accounts, I don't know anyone who's played it. Yeah. So I have no idea if it's good or bad. But I can tell you, fucking insane. People want it.
Selling like hotcakes?
The cakes that are hot.
the hotcakes. Actually, a good board game, war game transition is also...
That season of that show is so good right now.
Yeah, you like it?
I hope it doesn't start sucking.
I don't know. The first two episodes were... The first episode wasn't that great.
I liked the first episode.
I mean, it was decent. It was not like... In comparison to the first episode last season with the... How terrifying that zombie horde was that went through the cars.
Fair.
It was like... It was not as epic. It was just...
It was
good,
more action, though.
It was a good, solid episode. And that second episode was even better.
Yeah. Totally awesome. I hope they just keep going up. Because I remember season two had... The first five episodes were good. And then they were stuck in the house and then nothing happened. They're like, we've got to find Sophia.
It was like three episodes for that. It was three episodes of really good TV. And even the first one was only half good. The second half of the episode was pretty shitty. And then it was like they went to the farm and then everyone was happy and this show went to shit. And then all of a sudden it got good again.
Yeah.
No, I think it's gonna do fairly well.
Fucking zombie
games.
Did
you read my article?
I didn't.
No, I think you'd like it.
I usually avoid, because you do the spoiler-heavy stuff.
No, I'm not doing the spoiler-heavies anymore.
Oh, okay.
That. No, I talked about using a sword to decapitate zombies.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I did read that one. Because you were talking about Michonne.
Yeah.
And the katana.
And then I did one about how shooting up a zombie in the brain wouldn't always help.
The best. Oh, no, it would. Because zombies don't need, their brain has to be intact.
Well, no, this was, you read the article.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll make more sense to you.
The best thing was I read that article a while before, and then immediately in the second episode, she's chopping zombies' heads off.
Oh, like, yeah, exactly. Maybe the zombies just have poor bone density.
Or maybe she's got a Hattori Hanzo steel.
Well, that's what I put in the article. Yeah, I said
she's got Hattori Hanzo, and they're all rotted.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. They have poor bone density.
Yeah.
They're not drinking enough calcium.
Well, yeah, they're not drinking any calcium. I mean, I don't think.
You see zombies drinking milk. Just
chugging milk. And you'd be like, no, the milk's actually really bad for you. It wrecks your bones. It does. It's a true fact.
Yeah, but I find that hard. Well, I don't find that hard to believe, because I'm sure that the Big Bang Theory
board game sold really well.
Fuck
the Big Bang Theory in its fucking stupid asshole. Fuck that shit. Fuck you, Will Wheaton, for being on the fucking Big Bang Theory.
Will Wheaton.
Was Felicia Day been on there?
I don't know, probably.
Felicia Day, you better not fucking go on the Big Bang Theory. I swear, I'll blow up your Twitter feed.
blow it up.
I'll blow it up.
With what? With you going...
Words.
You're terrible. You're a bad person.
I'll be like, dear Felicia Day, I was appalled by your decision to appear on the Big Bang Theory television program.
She was on Eureka.
I don't even know what that is.
You never watched Eureka?
Nope. Sounds terrible.
It's not. It's one of those Canadian sci-fi shows. So it's like,
oh, that sounds fucking great.
So like, it's every episode is like a reset. There's like no like real danger of whatever's going on. But you know, it's fun to watch. It's nothing crazy.
Whatever. I just watched the TNG episode. Who Watches the Watchers?
What episode was that one?
That's the one where the blind. They're watching the proto Vulcan culture, and their hologram blind is disrupted. And then...
Oh, yeah.
And they think Picard is God.
Yeah.
So good. And it gave... And Picard's anti-religion speech in there. Ah, boner jams.
And then it's all about tying knots. And, like, Riker busts out of the knot.
Oh, no, he's like, let me show you how to tie the knot. And then it cuts to the other dude tied up. And he's always like, oh, Riker got him.
He got him with the old Riker 1-2.
Riker's got his own combo. Riker's got a Riker combo and a Kirk combo.
Yeah.
Kirk has a combo.
And then Riker also has a combo.
They're both. Yeah. It's kind of sweet.
And then Picard just stands in the corner and leg sweeps.
Or just grabs a Tommy gun off the wall and goes, we draw the line here. So good.
First contact. Anyway, getting back. Oh, good. We got some time. We wanted to end today.
Boner jams.
We wanted to end today talking about Halloween. Halloween is next. Well, I guess it's this week. It's coming out on Monday. So on Wednesday is Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail
this
to the
Halloween
song.
This is Halloween.
Tim Burton. Frank and Weenie sucked.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah,
I didn't see it at all.
It was miserable.
Yeah.
Although I did see Seven Psychopaths, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah,
it wasn't amazing. But it was just at the pretty good level. And then I saw Argo, which was excellent.
Oh, Ben Affleck.
Baflick?
Ben 94% Affleck. All of his movies on Rotten Tomatoes were all at 94%.
Fucking Ben Affleck, man.
But
he's the bomb in Phantoms.
We wanted God, you got to bring up something from like, isn't it what 2001?
Phantoms is a fucking sweet movie.
It is a really, Peter O'Toole's in it, I think.
Yeah, it's got a, Phantoms is one of the best plot twists and unexpected turns of a movie ever. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it. You should go see Phantoms. It's on Netflix. It's like an
is
hour
it on
and
Netflix?
Half. Yeah, it's like an hour and a half.
Watch that.
It's fucking great.
But anyway, we want to talk about games for Halloween. What to play? What not to play?
Zombicide.
Zombicide. Was that what not to play or what to play?
I will go with my to play. Zombie Dice, if you can find it, because it's fucking sold out everywhere.
Is it?
Thanks, Steve Jackson. Yeah, Zombie Dice is really hard to find.
Is
right
it?
Now.
Is it? Was it featured on Will Wheaton's Tabletop?
It might have been. Anything Will Wheaton puts on Tabletop is an instant seller.
Yeah,
because people are like, "Yes, Will Wheaton, we will buy it." I wonder what like the cost to get Will Wheaton to plug your shit is.
Hey, Will Wheaton, want to plug a game classy? Put on your Tabletop show.
Oh man, that would be sick. I think he'd do it for like maybe what $120? You
buck
think?
$20. Shit,
I'm just spitballing here. I mean, he's done nothing since Star Trek, right?
Like, no, he was on Eureka, and he did.
Or was he just guest starring?
Yeah, he was just
using
guest starring. Yeah,
his questionable star power.
Well, that's like Felicia Day. It's like she's a star.
She's internets though. Yeah. Like she makes all of her shit is from
internet celebrities.
I guess we are. We do have some E fame.
E fame.
Yeah, we got that one dude in like Scandinavia, right?
Yeah, the guy who keeps downloading the show.
That guy's
I believe
badass.
His name is Internet Bot.
But wait to throw off the any chance of us having any good Scandinavian listeners.
They're like, do you see them burning us in effigy?
But they've got it wrong. I'm labeled as you. You're labeled as me.
It's like spelled with like umlauts over the vowels in our names. Okay, so you like Zombie Dice. What else you like?
Zombie Dice is a good one. The classic Zombies from Twilight Creations, yeah. And it's infinite expansions. You can just play it by itself. It's mm-hmm. good. Gloom. Gloom is very fun. There's also Cthulhu Gloom, which
is there
good too.
I didn't know. I saw Gloom. I think Will Wheaton did that on Tabletop.
He fucking did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I saw that game. It looked fairly interesting.
It's fun.
I think that like I liked the concept of the card over the card.
The stacking.
Well,
the best
yeah.
thing is the core mechanic of the game is the stacking of cards, obviously. But the whole idea is that you have people and. Other people have other people, and you make the other like I make your people happier,
yeah.
And you make and I make try to make my people worse,
yeah.
And whoever ends with
sadder,
the worst off,
worse.
Yeah, sadder. Who ends up with the saddest people wins.
Yeah, like if your people die, you get like super bonus
yeah,
points
like, yes,
from like the
death.
It's kind of a more it's morbid, but yes,
little Cindy ran into the blender.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, it's like oh, he was impaled by a tire iron. You win.
No, impaled by like a fucking coat rack.
Yeah, that sounds more like. And all the cards have like a very Edwin. No, and not
Tim Burton.
No, well, it's like gory, like a old Addams Family feel to it.
Yeah, Aggie.
Yeah.
Richard Scarry.
Richard Scarry. A little worm with a fucking apple and shit.
I know that guy's the most misleading name ever. You're like, fuck yeah, Richard Scarry. This could be badass. What the fuck? It's a worm. It's eating an apple. This horse shit. Bought this for Halloween.
This is bullshit.
I want my money back.
I would actually, you stole one of mine because I was going to talk about Zombies, which
yeah.
which is it's not a bad game. The rule set on that really needs an FAQ, which I'm sure there probably is.
Do you play just the base game, or are you trying with expansions?
No, just the base game.
Oh, there's the director's cut now, so that's probably the one you're playing is probably old and doesn't
it
have.
It could
the,
very well be. I mean, it's not a bad game. It's just it could have.
It's cheap. It's easy. It sells.
Yeah, pretty much. That was my one big pick for the Halloween.
Mansions of Madness. That's another one.
That's another one if you're very into Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Which, actually, you can include any Cthulhu-esque game.
Yeah,
so
Arkham Horror, Mansions of Madness,
Cthulhu Dice. Miskatonic Girl, University of Girl for Girls or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Whatever.
I've never played that one.
I think it's like another tentacle rape game?
Probably.
Yeah.
Don't we? But we all love tentacle rape games.
I guess I don't know.
I guess
nah. I'm gonna go ahead and veto tentacle rape games.
What about some H.P. Lovecraft style RPG in
Trail of Cthulhu? It's a gumshoe system Cthulhu
really?
Game.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I was talking more about not Mansions of Madness. God, the name's fucking stuck in my head now. No, the old school RPG.
Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah,
Chaosium Call of Cthulhu. Trail of Cthulhu is a better version of that game.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Because Trail of Cthulhu uses Gumshoe, and Gumshoe's all about investigating.
Oh, okay.
And it's about, like, finding the shit out. And the way the Gumshoe system is structured is that you You roll dice. Doesn't matter what really happens. It's always going to advance the story.
Yeah.
It's like the story will be advanced.
My biggest problem.
And then you'll still all die in the end.
My favorite part of about playing Call of Cthulhu is I'm playing. Now, I'm not the type of guy who likes the RPG all night long. Like, usually around like 3 or 4 o'clock
in the
morning.
Are you sure you don't want to be Sam Neill in Mansions of Mountains Beyond the Mouth of Madness?
Yeah. I'd rather have be Sam Neill in Event Horizon.
Ooh.
And just cut out my eyes.
Nice.
No, I played like. I can't play till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I get too exhausted. I'm just not the type of guy. I'm not like you. You're like, I don't fucking need sleep.
6 o'clock. We got another hour in us.
But so it's like always like around like 2 o'clock, I'd be like, my guy goes into the attic. And they're like, you shouldn't go in the attic. I'm like, my guy goes into the attic.
I go into the attic with no flashlight and squealing.
Like a little girl. And they're like, okay, well, you know, you get attacked by an eldritch horror. I'm like, do I die? And they're like, yes. I'm like, I'm going to bed. Pretty much. I was never really invited to that many RPG games in college because I'd always end up killing my character halfway through the night because I was tired.
Need to introduce you to energy drinks, sir.
Well, I mean, this was back in college. I was.
Then you should have done the do.
I should have done the do. No, I was. I had a job. I had to work and all that other bullshit.
I work. I have a job. I have to get up early. Yeah. I just don't sleep.
Yeah, you just don't sleep. I can't function like that, Steve.
I barely function, but I function.
But yeah, you got Call of Cthulhu, which is a great. You know, anything Lovecraft. You know, if I'm going to make a recommendation,
if you're going to Call of Cthulhu Chaosium system, don't do the D20.
No,
for all the love of everything, don't do the D20.
And you could also do Ravenloft, do an old school AD&D Ravenloft adventure.
That'd be sick.
Dungeon crawl for Halloween.
Ravenloft's never a dungeon crawl.
But you get the campaign supplements. And you got a camp. You could just
spooky horror.
Do a spooky
horror. Or you could do Castle Ravenloft board game from Wizards of the Coast.
Ooh,
spookiness.
It's not really that great. I sold my copy.
I mean, it's good. It's just not a. It's a very begin. It's a very hand holding. This is what D&D is sort of like.
If Penny, my daughter, was old enough, it might have been a little different, but it was just like, if I'm playing with like a bunch of guys, we're all just kind of like, this is it. this is all the game is.
Because you all know, like, D&D.
Well, it's not even that we all know D&D. It's just kind of like a very one-trick pony entire game. I mean, until you get to the very end, or like near the end when you're fighting
off. Battling Strahd.
You're battling like a giant bone dragon and shit like that. Then that's cool, but... You know, aside from that,
rabble.
What about card games?
Like CCGs? Because Gloom's a card game.
Yeah, well, I'm talking CCGs.
CCGs for Halloween. You could just do Innistrad, Dark Ascension, and Avacyn Restored. That's the horror set.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Okay, it's gothic horror.
Oh, that's right, because it's got the werewolves and stuff, like the shapeshifters.
Yep, you could just pick up some packs and do some drafting, build some decks.
Ooh. Maybe do like a sealed deck system.
Yeah, sealed draft or sealed pool. That would be cool.
Uh-huh. Then you could play, of course, Vampire Counts.
Bleh.
you could play Vampire Counts versus Tomb Kings.
I want someone at some point to...
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. My monster from his slab began to rise when suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mesh.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mesh.
It caught on with a smash.
The monster mesh.
Graveyard. I don't remember the words. It caught on in a flash.
He did the mesh.
He did the monster mesh.
Oh,
we harmonized for a second before I went flat. That's terrible. Uh-huh. And actually, if you're a historical gamer,
I wonder. You know what? No one has ever mentioned any singing on this podcast.
Well, we sing on the damn podcast.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, people might like it. They might just think it's funny.
Maybe they hate, or maybe they're like,
my ears, they burn.
They've been violated by these men.
With you can go play, let's say you play Bolt Action, right? You play some historical games. You could throw in some
zombies.
Throw in some weird war too, man. Throw in some zombies. Some
sons
vampires. Some Frankenstein. Oh, I'm sorry, a flesh golem, because we're not allowed to call them Frankensteins.
That's stupid. There's a Frankenstein and then there's a flesh golem. They're two things. They're two different things.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
technically
they're
the same thing.
No. No friend.
No, I completely agree. I don't even think flesh golem's a thing.
Flesh golem is a thing.
No, it's a Frankenstein.
It's not a Frankenstein.
It's a Frankenstein.
Frankenstein is green. He's got the bolts in his neck and he goes, fire bad. That's a Frankenstein. It's the only way you could call it a Frankenstein.
No way. It's a Frankenstein. He's like, what's that thing made of? Flesh? Ah, it's a goddamn Frankenstein. Get that Frankenstein out of here.
It's funny, too, because Frankenstein's not even the name of it. It never was the name. It was always the creature or the monster. Frankenstein was the name of the doctor. Stop calling him Frankenstein. It doesn't make any sense.
No, he's Frankenstein.
That's Frankenstein.
Did we cover this, I think, in a podcast once?
Frankenstein? No.
I think we covered this where it's like, look at all those Frankensteins over there. Oh, that's a Dracula, too. How many Draculas are attacking us?
Blah! Look at Draculas.
It's like, look at all those vampires. What's a vampire? You know, like Dracula. Those are Draculas?
You think you could actually kill a white vampire? I can't kill a white vampire. Yeah. I kill Blackulas. I'm a Blackula hunter. That's...
Was that Jefferson...
Jefferson Twilight?
Jefferson Twilight.
Blackula hunter.
All right, well, we're getting towards the end
ally
here.
Ally of the great Dr. Orpheus!
That actually would be a good thing to do on Halloween, just do a Venture Bros marathon.
Venture Brothers is
it's
fucking
awesome.
It's
coming back.
I'm so excited.
And Archer's coming
Venture
back.
Venture Brothers would be a hilarious RPG.
It would be, but here's the problem with Venture Brothers. Venture Brothers RPG would be very similar to the Game of Thrones RPG, where nothing you do could ever get close to how good that original series.
That's the key. You just use the same tongue-in-cheek flavor and you need a bunch of people who have the same style of humor.
Yeah.
But you don't touch the actual characters.
Well,
in the
yeah.
Plot.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
do your own. It's like, oh, you guys are all working for Sphinx.
But you know that like that's not how people play.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, I ran a 60s...
I want to be Hank.
See, it's the thing.
You'll
I ran
be Dane.
I ran a superhero... For two sessions, I ran a superhero. I don't know, Dino. I ran.
I am the knight.
I am the bit. Two sessions, just a couple quick shots. I ran my own homebrew superhero game, which was done in the campy Batman style. But you had all superhero powers. So one person was playing like a Hulk style character. There's another one who was playing a speedster. One who was playing, he had fire and lightning powers, so he could shoot lightning and fire. And then another one was, what the hell could he do? Oh, he could turn into metal and like Colossus style.
Yeah.
And everyone was super into it and they got it down. You know, they were fighting a, the villain was Skull Duggums. That was his name. I drew a little like sketch picture of him with his big, big purple cape and he had like a big skull head and, they bust into like, cause he's going to rob the history museum of its mummy exhibit. And they're like, we've got to stop Skull Duggums.
Well, see this is funny in comparison to like what you do with actual Venture. See the thing with the Venture Brothers is it's more about the humor from Venture Brothers comes from in between the action sequences.
That's
where
true.
One guy looks to another guy and he's like, hey, did you ever think about so-and-so and so-and-so?
That's
and
true.
The other guy's like, no, I never did. And then all of a sudden Brock comes up and kills them from behind.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I mean, the best was when the party busted in the room and one of the guys just went, we've got a bone to pick with you, Skull Duggums. Oh. It's like, yes! And you get bonus points for quips like that.
See, now that puns. That works. But I think, and because what's great about it is that, and it's the key to parody in and of itself, is that parody only works and humor from parody only works is if you take it absolutely serious and you don't wink, you don't nudge, you just treat it seriously, but you have fun with the seriousness.
Yep.
And that's what works for it. And I think that's what what people would miss out on stuff like
Fair
that.
Fair enough. Yeah, they earned camp points whenever they did that, and you could spend camp points for really over-the-top abilities. I would. Oh, and he, of course, reanimated a giant mummy, and they fought the mummy. And when they defeated the mummy by combining their moves, and they grabbed the mummy wrap and unraveled the mummy while simultaneously wrapping up Skull Duggums, and then one of the guys just goes, looks like this is all wrapped up. I was like, yes! So good!
Well, on the note of the yummy mummy, I think we will end today's
fucking
podcast.
Yummy mummy is awesome. That's the thing. Most people don't know about yummy mummy, and most people don't know about fruit brute either.
Fruit brute is awful, and so is yummy mummy.
No, how dare you? All of the breakfast monster cereals are great.
No,
right on top of my fridge
not.
Is Booberry, Count Chocula, and Frankenberry.
Well, Count Chocula is amazing because it's chocolate, but it's like what kid goes, you know what I really want in my cereal?
Is the best.
Blueberries.
You're the worst. Oh. Your taste buds are awful. Your taste buds are bad, and they should feel bad.
I actually made myself some veal scallopini today.
Gross.
Yes, veal scallopini is disgusting.
Yes, veal is disgusting.
Okay. I have enough of your liberal sensibilities, sir.
It's got nothing to do with that. It tastes gross.
Oh, my God. You know what? Even, like hardcore like people who are against veal, like, veal's awful. They'll still go, you know what? This is tasty but disgusting.
No, it doesn't taste good. It tastes like ass.
Oh, my God. So anyway,
yes.
Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. New Walking Dead comes up every Friday for me, a new article.
You got Pat's retro game reviews.
Something about zombies. Then you got Pat's retro game video game reviews, along with our other sister podcast, Planet Arbitrary, which I host, and Game On.
Our backwards, broken, snaggletoothed cousin podcast.
Game On.
Suck it, Pat.
Video games.
Video game! Oh, I kind of spoiled it there, but I was watching a stream many moons ago, and it was a fighting game tournament, and this is the absolute definitive moment I've seen in gaming coverage thus far. I'm sure something can make it over the top, but it's a fighting game. Two characters are going at it, and one of the players catches the other character in a ridiculous combo, and it just loops and it just keeps going and going, and the other guy can do shit. He can't do anything, and it's just going on and on, and during the middle of this combo the announcer just goes, "Video game!" It's like, and that everyone lost it. It was pretty awesome.
Video games.
You could follow me on,
ideal.
You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy.
Yeah, follow me. Damn it, I only have like 50 followers.
Steve will respond to you if you yell at him on the Twitters. He will yell back at you.
It's true.
He's actually pretty good about that.
Yep.
Might take a couple days, but he'll yell back.
I'll yell back.
Eventually. He'll call you a derogatory term, and then I'll have to say, Steve, that's not very good for our brand to use those words.
What brand?
The brand I'm eventually trying to build up.
Oh, okay.
So this is a podcast. Twitter. Okay, so Steve, until next week.
I'm going to go watch American Horror Story.
It's going to be boss!